As many of you know, one of the current priorities of the CDC's National Center for HIV, AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention is integration of surveillance for multiple infections. Several of us in CDC's Division of STD Prevention wanted to learn how much surveillance is already integrated at state and local programs, and also to determine what barriers might prevent further future integration. Just stepping back for a moment, traditional surveillance monitors individual cases of STIs, HIV, or hepatitis, but rarely identifies co-infections or multiple infections. Integrated surveillance might guide more effective, efficient interventions. Because infections can be spread by the same behaviors and limited by similar prevention messages and activities, public health resources may be pooled or new services offered based on integrated surveillance. In addition, people with multiple infections or repeated infections may benefit from special interventions. Our survey objectives were to determine the degree of surveillance integration in local and state health departments, to learn when surveillance has been useful, and to identify barriers to increased integration. We emailed our survey to the 58 state and local program STD program directors. The survey could be answered by anyone in the program knowledgeable about that program's surveillance. And then we followed up with a phone survey of 10 programs to clarify the written responses. We proposed four levels at which surveillance might be integrated at programs. First, in non-integrated programs, surveillance systems are separate. Reports from other subject areas may be used to generate hypotheses about co-infections. Next, limited integration. Distribution of different infections in specific populations or geographic areas is compared to guide public health interventions. Moving on to progressively more integrated levels of surveillance, we defined expanded surveillance as that in which separate data sources are matched to determine rates of co-infection or multiple infections at the individual level. Information is disseminated to guide public health action. And finally, comprehensive surveillance we thought implied more seamless and routine integration, where surveillance data about different infections are routinely reported within the same database. We define that as at least once per year. And integrated information is routinely disseminated to guide public health action. Now for the results. 47 programs, or 81%, responded, and we were able to interview 9 out of the 10 programs selected for follow-up phone survey. In this graph, the yellow bars represent the interaction of HIV and STIs, and the purple bars the intersection of hepatitis and STIs. In the first two yellow bars, you can see that most programs, more than 80%, had compared the incidence of STIs and HIV by population and by geography. The first two purple bars show that about half of the programs had done this for STIs and hepatitis. The third set of bars shows that most programs had examined co-infections of HIV and STIs at the individual level, but very few had done this for hepatitis and STIs. Finally, the last set of bars shows that a majority of programs, or 54%, reported entering surveillance data for STIs and for HIV into the same database. 11% had done this for STIs and hepatitis. Fitting these results into our proposed levels of integration, 21% of programs were non-integrated, 28% met our criteria for limited integration, another 28% fit our definition of expanded integration, and 23% were comprehensively integrated. In determining these levels, we counted integration of either STI and HIV surveillance, STI and hepatitis surveillance, or integration of all three. The levels on this chart mostly reflect integration of STI and HIV surveillance, as only 3 programs had expanded or comprehensive integration of STI and hepatitis surveillance, and only 2 programs had comprehensive integration of all three. This is a closer look at which co-infections were analyzed at the individual level at least once. 74% of programs had determined the percentage of syphilis patients co-infected with HIV. Between 30 and 40% had determined HIV co-infection with gonorrhea or with chlamydia. 34% of programs had looked at co-infection with multiple STIs. And co-infection rates of HIV with hepatitis B and C were determined by 15% and 6% of programs, respectively. 4% of programs determined co-infection with syphilis and hepatitis B. Other co-infections analyzed by one program each were not included in this slide. One interesting finding was that programs with at least 100 reported cases of primary and secondary syphilis in 2005, so those with higher disease burdens in their project area, were more likely to have determined co-occurrence of any infections. 92% of these programs versus only 64% of programs with less than 100 reported cases of PNS syphilis in 2005 had determined any co-infections. This was a statistically significant difference with a p-value of 0.02. Moving on to what programs thought about the usefulness of integrated surveillance, all survey respondents thought that some integration would be useful. 72% reported that it already has been useful in their program. In disseminating information from integrated surveillance, 40% have presented data at a conference, 38% have sent reports to providers, and 15% have published information. Respondents have used integrated surveillance to identify screening locations and promote screening or services in specific groups. Some examples include mobile van screening for STIs and HIV with locations based on spatial analysis of co-infection data, asking counties to offer HIV tests to males over 30 with gonorrhea based on a match of STD and HIV databases, adoption of InSpot, internet-based technology to help individuals with STIs inform their partners based on reported risks in MSM with co-infections and repeat infections, and implementation of hepatitis A and B vaccines in STD clinics after surveillance data demonstrated higher rates of hepatitis A and B among MSM and high-risk heterosexual populations. The most common barriers to integration were policies preventing work with HIV data, which was reported by 85% of respondents, and incompatible databases cited by 59%. Among STD programs that had HIV in their program name, 74% stated that they did have access to data needed for determining co-infection, while only 43% of those without HIV in their program name reported sufficient access. This difference was significant at a p-value of 0.03. Other barriers included lack of program time or expertise and incompatible patient identifiers in different databases. Limitations of our study include a response rate less than 100%. We may have underestimated surveillance integration activities depending on each respondent's knowledge of all surveillance activities in their program. On the other hand, we may have overestimated the extent of surveillance integration if respondents interpreted some questions differently than we intended. Results from our follow-up phone survey indicated that programs were at least at the level of integration determined in our email survey. Some programs were at more advanced levels of integration than we initially determined. So overall, most programs already have at least some surveillance integration. However, few programs are sufficiently integrated to routinely inform public health action. Everyone we surveyed believed integration would be useful. Finally, significant barriers to further integration exist. The two most important barriers, according to our respondents, are policies that restrict access to HIV data and data management systems for STIs, HIV, and hepatitis that are separate and incompatible. Where do we take these results? Well, first, promoting broader access to HIV surveillance data would facilitate integration of surveillance. In addition, while many programs have attempted to integrate surveillance without the help of compatible systems, for example, some programs match cases in different systems using identifiers at the individual level, this can involve significant work and may not be sustainable. Some programs have developed compatible data management systems for STIs, HIV, and hepatitis surveillance, which might be shared and adopted. I want to acknowledge everyone at the programs who took time to answer our survey and to help us learn about the state of surveillance integration. And I also want to acknowledge everyone at the programs and training branch who helped us get our surveys out. Thank you. Yes, Pennsylvania responded that since they've developed PA NEDS, that has taken away all the problems with, on that front, they're still having difficulty with other barriers. So that's one, and then I don't know much about, but I've heard something about the PRISM system in Florida. I don't know if anybody here knows more about that. So, it wasn't, sorry, the question is, of those STD programs that had HIV also in their program name, what proportion were at the highest level of integration? Were all of them at that level? And I don't have the number off the top of my head. I know it wasn't all of them. They were at different levels, but I can get you that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.